Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Whole Scoop. Remember, we're a health and wellness radio show where our guests are always highly credentialed in their fields. The goal of this program is to present different and sometimes opposing perspectives to allow the listeners to make informed decisions about what might be the right health approach for them. I'm your host, Carol Ferraci, a registered licensed dietitian who has practiced for over 30 years. I'm also the founder of Naturally Nutrition, and you can check me out at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. For those of you who have followed us, you know that as a practitioner, it's important for me to provide you highly qualified guests on a variety of topics in order to promote your own health and wellness. Tonight's show is Your Mind, the Key to Your Health. And all, as always, I'm going to remind you that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topic of discussion, it is always recommended to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. The call-in number is 347-855-8894. You can also direct questions and comments to www.blogtalkradio.com/thewholescoop. And follow us, of course, on Facebook, Instagram, and Blog Talk Radio. Again, you're going to want to write this number down tonight, 347-855-8894. We will be taking questions later on. And when you are calling in, if you do have a question, remember to press the number 1 to become part of the queue for questions. So that being said, again, our show tonight is Your Mind, the Key to Your Health. So we have wonderful guests tonight. I'm so happy to tell you that Stephanie Sakaili is back to being with us tonight. If you remember, if you followed us for a while, you remember her from our autism show in April. Stephanie is a developmental therapist and a behavior specialist. She's the one who started her practice after families continued to call and request private and specific consultation programming. She works with families to coach them through individualized interventions related to their unique skills and challenges. And when she's not running Bridges Behavior Consulting, she's teaching graduate school at the University of Pittsburgh and supervising for their applied behavior analysis and early intervention programs. She has a passion for helping individuals and families reach their goals and specific skills and individualizing programming. She's going to be talking to us tonight about intrinsic motivation and behavior and how it can positively influence our health. You'll find Stephanie at www.facebook.com/Bridges Behavior Consulting. With her tonight is Tracy Stoppler. Tracy is a registered dietitian with a Master of Science in Nutrition from New York University and is certified by the American College of Sports Medicine. She is the Nutrition Director at Nutrition ETC in Plainview, Long Island, and an adjunct professor at both Adelphi University and Lehman College. Tracy has authored over 30 abstracts, papers, and book chapters in the scientific literature on the topic of nutrition and exercise, and she's created a series of meditation classes. She is an associate editor of Total Nutrition, The Only Guide You'll Ever Need, from the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, and author of Nutrition ETC for the Millennium. Her latest publication is the chapter of Medical Nutrition Therapy for Anemia in Krause's Food and Nutrition Therapy. After all of that, her favorite thing and her passion was the achievement in summiting Mount Kilimanjaro and completing her first novel in 2015. So with that, let's bring those ladies on. Stephanie, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Tracy, are you here?
Yes, I am. Hi, Carol. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey. Hi, Tracy.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And Tracy, congratulations on your novel. I can't wait to get into that. I'm really looking forward to that. But that being said, we're talking about how our minds play key roles in our health. And so usually, you know, it's interesting because usually with this show, when I start out a show, I have statistics in front of me and I'm pretty well versed on where we need to go, what kinds of things we need to do, and what's going to happen. And with this particular show, we're talking about topics that don't necessarily have statistics attached to them, but definitely have empirical types of rewards and benefits and objectives, but at the same time, we're talking about concepts that maybe most people don't either have heard about, not really familiar with. So I'd like to start out with some basic definitions. So if it's okay with you, Stephanie, let's start with what is intrinsic motivation? What does it mean and how is it important? And then, Tracy, we're going to wrap right back around to you to how that relates to what you're doing with your meditation courses and mindfulness and eating and all of that. Okay?
Yes, that sounds great. I'm happy to start. And then, Tracy, jump in as soon as you're ready. What I love to talk about when it comes to motivation is how or why we are interested in doing something. Sometimes people can refer to it as mentalism or intrinsic behaviors. It's the behavior that we don't see, but it does have a history of being conditioned as positive or negative, which means that then we would be more likely to engage in that behavior in the future. So even though that sounds a little complex, it's actually quite simplified from how a behavior analyst like myself might be looking at behavior, thinking about what that internal dialogue is in someone's head or how they're thinking or if they're present or what other stimuli might be affecting their behavior, and then seeing how it affects their behavior affects the environment and thus keeping them coming back. So bringing that back to tonight's topic, how that might be effective if we're thinking about attending a yoga class, if we're thinking about trying a new dish, or we're thinking about, gosh, I'm still really, 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 really hungry after that, we may or may not be more likely to go back to that yoga class or try that new dish or eat more the next time based on our experience, whether or not it made us feel good or lousy. How was that first start?
That was a great start. That was a great start. We're going to let Tracy jump in here, and then we're going to chat about all of that.
Stephanie, actually, that was a great start. You know, because I teach meditation, one of the things I tell my clients is mindfulness is simply an awareness. It's a purposeful thought of I'm paying attention. It's a moment when we are responding in a calm manner rather than reacting habitually. So intrinsic motivation, I mean, I'm thinking of when I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. It's a drive. It's a drive
to
accomplish.
By the way, that is incredible.
But
it's very impressive.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But it is a drive to accomplish a goal simply because it has become a part of us. So we don't need anything or anyone outside of ourselves simply because we're at one. We are so focused that, to me, that's intrinsic motivation, where mindfulness is something we can really learn. I mean, that everyone is open to change and become more mindful.
Okay.
I agree
so
with you.
Can we do both at the same time? Or, I mean, does one enhance the other, or how does that work?
Can I answer this one first for myself?
Yeah.
My answer is absolutely yes. Sometimes we have to start where we are, and sometimes that means that we're really not totally aware of why or how we might be doing something. And if we use the Kilimanjaro example, by the way, I have not climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. That's quite a feat. If I make it relatable to myself, I'll be talking about playing hockey, and I'm a runner. So if that's okay, I'll use that as a very lame example compared to Kilimanjaro. But if I'm saying I'm motivated, and what happens is I get a little bit of that taste of success, and then it becomes something that emotionally inside me, I'm more motivated to get more of that result and more of that kind of forward momentum. And what we see on the outside of the body then is the continued engagement in that forward behavior.
Okay. Go ahead, Tracy. I thought, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to see if she was going to step in, yeah.
I'm just thinking about, sorry, I'm going back to Kilimanjaro, or any trip we are going to take, even sending our kids off to college, any trip will be a reflection of the preparation we put in ahead of time. So if the trip for you is getting on the scale and losing 40 pounds, that's a trip. It's a journey. So the preparation put in ahead of time, which requires both the mindfulness and the intrinsic motivation, we're going to need a map or a GPS, right? Because anytime we're starting on a new journey, it helps to have a roadmap. And we're going to need to pay attention to signs. I mean, we all have an internal roadmap. That's the intrinsic part. So if we're mindful, then the signs are clearer to us. And of course,
how do we hone in on those skills? Because obviously, from what I'm hearing from you, both of you, is that it's all, we each have the ability to do this internally, intrinsically, if you will. And if that's the case, some of us are more aware than others. And if we're talking about becoming aware or being aware, how do we enlighten, and how do we teach that, and how am I supposed to know, as the person that is just listening to this show for the first time, what am I supposed to take away from what was just said in terms of, well, okay, if I can do this, then how do I know that I'm doing this? What kinds of things? I mean, with all due respect, whether you're a runner and you play hockey, or you've climbed Kilimanjaro, or you're just going to try to improve on your basic health and wellness, how do you become that person that you want and need to be to accomplish those kinds of goals?
Tracy, do you want to
Stephanie, you want to start that?
Oh, I don't mind at all. Thank you, Stephanie. What I'm thinking is you have to stop paying attention to what other people expect of you. And you have to, I think the more authentic I am, the easier my life becomes. Because what we want out of life, our intrinsic motivation, where our soul drives us, is supposed to be more natural. So it has nothing to do with what other people are asking or expecting of you. You've got to pay attention to what your dreams are. That's where meditation comes in. I mean, Stephanie might get a meditation from running or from mm-hmm. the soccer. Everyone has to find mm-hmm. what theirs is.
And agreed, but if this is all new, say tonight is a foreign language to some people, and they thought, well, you know, it sounds interesting, but I think I'm going to find out more about that. And let's just say that we're speaking in a different language to them right now, okay? How do we bring that down and say, all right, look, who are you? Is this what we say? Do we say, who are you? Can you answer the question as to who are you, and what kinds of things are important to you, and then focus on that? And if so, what kinds of things would you recommend that they focus on in order to continuously build on that?
Mm-hmm. May I start, if you don't mind?
Yeah,
I want
sure.
to take what Tracy was saying and go right into that. She said something really amazing, talking about needing a guide map. And I love that analogy. When individuals come into my office or I'm meeting them somewhere, I always say, what's your goal? And so they might not know, but through conversation or through kind of digging into that, we can help them figure out what their goal is. And again, piggybacking, when you're thinking about, well, what's your goal versus what is, you know, my significant other's goal for me, or what do I think my goal should be, but really digging in. And this comes in just time and patience and digging right to the bottom of that then becomes, what's my goal? And from the goal, then you work backwards into that, I love this alliteration, the road map or the guide map, and paying attention to that map. And through that actually kind of opens up even more things that we can be looking at. So if my goal is to run a half marathon, and I say, oh, people tell me that's not a good idea. And I say, all right, well, maybe I'll just start with something else. And maybe that's my goal. And once I reach that goal, I can keep going to other ways, or further distances. The other part of that is if I say, I want to just do a 5K, and they say, why don't you do a full marathon? And I say, you know what, that's not really on my agenda right now, that it's okay to talk about your roadmap and your motivation and all of that, and figuring out when it's your time to reach those goals and when it's not, and how to get there. Is that
okay.
helpful?
I'm going to interject here for a second. I always take the side of the person that may not know anything that we're talking about, and try to bring it into a different focus for them. So where I'm going to go with this right now is I'm going to say, I get all the goals that you guys are talking about, and I'm right on board with where you are and where you want people to be. But then what I want to make sure that we don't do is that we use goals on this program as examples, those particular types of goals that some people may not reach, may not have any desire to reach, and may not ever get to that. And I don't want to intimidate them. I want them to understand that this is applicable behavior, and these are applicable techniques to everyday living or anything that anyone wants to accomplish. So if we could kind of shape our discussion toward those kinds of things and then bring in the bigger goals, I think that might help some people.
Can I also specifically thinking about a grocery list, or what is your big goal is to lose weight, and then so we target the exact number maybe we're talking about, and then we're going to go into the roadmap of making a plan for the grocery store, and then we're going to subcategorize that into different things. But I'm not saying that this is how it's going to be so complex. I'm offering that this one goal that seems so simple actually has all of these different roadmaps and pieces that we have to figure out for ourselves to see what works and what doesn't, and to be present with what works and what doesn't. Is that a better example?
Yeah, no, and none of them were bad examples. Please don't misunderstand that. It's just that I want to make sure that we don't turn some people off if they think that we're trying to talk them into running a 5K marathon in fact they really just want to kind of, like, you know, get through everyday life without being so stressed out, you know?
100 with you, yes.
Can I add a little bit of statistics?
Sure, please.
This might help. Everyone that's listening is going to be part of the statistics here. So there was a study that was done on focusing on the now. And I just, before I even give the answers, I'd like everyone who's listening just to think about the following. Do you mostly focus on the past? Do you mostly focus on the future? Or do you mostly focus on the present? And keep in mind, there is no right or wrong answer, but this is where our awareness begins. So even though I'm now going to tell you the results of this study, I don't want anyone to think, oh, my God, I didn't fall in the maximum. It's not about that. This is just about you being aware of who you are, and then you have to decide, is that where you want to stay? And then if you'd like to make some changes, well, then that's step by step. So 40% of those who were questioned, 40% focused on the past. 50% focused on the future. And only 10% focused on the present. So with that being said, and again, there's no right or wrong, but I think part of this topic on mindfulness, I'm just going to reiterate, that it becomes easier to be more mindful when you are able to let go of the past, when you are able to just be present in the moment, and almost, if it's at all possible, to learn, because it is learned, to learn that whatever happens for us, not to us, which means if you say, oh, my God, why did that happen to me? We're going to shut down. If we change it to why is this happening for me, all of a sudden we can become empowered. We could change our brain to look for lessons and actually grow from being uncomfortable.
Wow. That was excellent. Thank you, Tracy. That's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. And Stephanie, I'm sure that you're right there with us.
Yes, it resonated.
That was fabulous. And I think that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about when you're looking at this on how to get started, what to do, past, present, future, great start, great. And then shifting the thought to for us as opposed to me for me as opposed to me. That was fabulous. Thank you. I got to do a couple of things here. I got to remind people what we're doing and who we are, and give me a minute here. You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio on Blog Talk Radio, and tonight's show is Your Mind, the Key to Your Health, and we're talking with Tracy Stoppler. And Tracy, I'm sorry, I apologize, I don't think I gave out a contact for you earlier. You can reach Tracy at nutritionetc@aol.com, and you can reach Stephanie. We're talking to Stephanie. Stephanie, say your last name for me, because I know I always mess that one up, and I don't mean to.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's Cycle-y.
Cycle-y. Okay, I'm going to get that one in, I promise. It's Cycle-y. Stephanie Cycle-y, who's a behavior therapist, a developmental therapist, and you can find her at www.facebook.com/Bridges Behavior Consulting. And, of course, I'm your host, Carol Ferraci, and you can find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. Okay, all of that being said, that's the business. I'm going to remind people that if you're calling in, to press the number 1 if you have a question. We will be taking questions real soon, and we do have a couple of blog questions. So, ladies, if it's okay with you, it might be a good time to take a question or two on the blog.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We've got one here that says, when you have dreams but also have responsibilities, how do you manage to accomplish your dreams, work, kids, aging parents, et cetera, and still be able to get to those goals?
Steph, you want to take that first?
My first thing that I – sure, thank you. And then I know that you're going to have a very great response to this too, but when – someone's saying, where do I start? Then that's what we do, is we prioritize and think about it. We talk about things on the outside perspective and the inside, and we say, how does that fit for you? What's your response? How are you responding to that? Is this something that you're ready to encounter? So now, if you're throwing in certain things that are immediate, those are things that we need to take care of. Our health are things we need to take care of, and our dreams are things that we can find ways to set that up. I feel
you know.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second because I'm interpreting that question just a little differently. And if I'm wrong, I want the person who blogged that question in to correct me. So you know, kind of give me back some feedback on the blog. But the way that I'm interpreting that question is, everybody's got things to juggle, and everybody's got responsibility. And but we also have dreams, and one of the things that keeps us going are the dreams. Like, you know, if we have a goal of climbing Kilimanjaro, we have a dream or a goal of running a 5K or doing whatever, but we have the kids bogging us down, or we have something else happening, or we have you know, some illness going on in the family, or something else that's happening. The thing that's eating at us in the back of our minds might be, you know, but I still want to get to me, and I'm losing me in the process. So how do I maintain me and juggle my responsibilities, but yet still accomplish all that I have to accomplish on a daily basis? That's how I interpret that. I don't know.
Well, I'll give a quick amended response then. I can tell you, my friend, I'm a mom. I am in that constant phase too. So it is very, very challenging. If I can give you a very simple response, it is that I look at where I can fit it in and fit in everybody else's needs. So early this morning, I was awake to get in what was working on my goals. And so it's just to make sure that I look at the day and figure out where I can put it all in. I'm not sure if that's a good answer for you, but I'm a mom.
It's
hard to juggle it all. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair response. I think that's a real response. But I guess let's even go a little bit further into, you know, does somebody – I want to make sure that people know that – if you're going to work on a goal or a dream, do you have to allot yourself an entire hour for the day or 2 hours, or can you give it a couple of minutes here and there and work and know that you've worked toward it? You know, how does that work when you're talking about achieving what you want, maintaining and staying real to yourself, but yet, you know, juggling everything else that still has to happen?
Sometimes I think if we're putting a deadline on it, then that's not being present in the moment. And I don't know if I'm happy to admit this, but my novel took me 15 years. And because it took me 15 years, I mean, there was no rush. I was living, and it actually changed my experience of writing it. So I would love to give an analogy that that motivates me. I want everyone to think of the word touchdown. It has two different meanings. First, for those of you who love football, it's a football term. Touchdown is when a player carries the ball across the zero-yard line into the end zone. The person will score and the crowd goes wild. Exciting. But touchdown is also a traveler's term. And remember, we talked about journeys. The jet roars off the runway and flies until touchdown on the tarmac at the airport of the destination. Now, for the broken or, God forbid, the hijacked or endangered jet, touchdown remains the goal. It's the moment of safety. Either way, we can't play the whole game there, and we can't get to our destination without first taking off. So the whole point is, again, going back to planning. We have to focus on being present in the moment so we have the plan, so we understand the goal, so we understand the destination. We know where we're looking to go. And we will know.
Let's pick one. Let's pick something. Let's go from start to finish and let's do a future dream. Let's just pick something. I'm looking at the blog here to see if anybody actually has said what it is that they're trying to accomplish. I don't know. Let's just pick something and let's say, where do we start? Okay, we've decided that we're a future kind of person, so we're looking toward the future. And maybe we are looking at writing a novel. Let's just choose that, since that's near and dear to your heart, Tracy, and it's something that you can relate to. And Stephanie, I'm sure that you can have a whole lot to add to this as we go through this. But let's just say we do that. Let's say we're writing a novel. We always wanted to write a novel, and I've got kids to juggle. I've got aging parents to juggle. I've got my job. I've got my husband. I've got all kinds of things that you know, take priority. Do I give myself 15 minutes? And if that's the case, don't I still have to take care of myself? And if so, how do I manage to do that? And I'm going to wrap that right back around to you being a dietitian and saying, How does nutrition play a role in that, and is it important, and how about my own personal health? We can make this applicable to writing a novel, or we can make it applicable to getting through a chronic disease or a recent illness, an acute situation, or anything, right? I mean, so if we start, don't we have to start with ourselves? And if you're looking at being a part of the moment, and saying, you know, where are we, then how is it then maybe just learning to eat better works toward that goal? Do you see what I mean? Is that something does that sound right? Does that sound like something that you might tell somebody?
I will say that for women first. I want to just address this because I actually just had a client come in this evening, and she has role models in her family that basically the women have a hard time taking care of themselves. So I had to remind her that taking care of yourself is not selfish. It's self-interest. It's self-preservation. When we take better care of ourselves, and I will define what that means, it makes it easier to take care of others, and it also reduces any resentment that might be there. So simple steps to taking care of yourself would simply be watching the amount of sugar that you have in your diet. The less sugar, the more focused you can become. So, for example, a healthy brain means having less sugar, less caffeine, and less alcohol. It doesn't mean none. This is not about all or nothing. This is about moderation. It means being mindful enough to know if you need to lose weight that you will have less food. It doesn't mean none. It means eating until you are no longer hungry, not eating until you are full. It means doing some form of exercise, even if it means just walking for the start for 3 minutes, and then maybe at the end of the week, you're now up to 5 minutes. It's baby steps. Most important, and this people don't even realize this because they're trying so much to be productive, sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night is so important because when we don't get that amount of sleep, it changes our appetite hormones in our body, causing us to be more hungry during the course of the day. So that those less sugar, caffeine, and alcohol, exercising regularly, sleeping regularly. I'll talk more about specific foods later on, but that's the start. And I will tell you, you know, I was blessed to have my parents living with me for 2 months because they were in a horrific car accident, and I just brought them back yesterday. Every single morning, you can ask them, I get up early, I would do my exercise before they even woke up. So I was more mindful in taking care of all of their needs.
Okay. So you learn to, you have to identify what is most important to you so that you can take care of yourself, and if you have to change things around a little bit during your day to accommodate yourself, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's about prioritizing.
It's about prioritizing. And Stephanie, would you agree?
Absolutely. I am nodding and smiling and agreeing that it is a constant prioritizing and then reprioritizing. And then once you kind of think you have what you think is going to work, to test it out and be present to see if it's working, and if it's not, to amend it.
So is this a situation where we have to be masters at being organized, or is this something that we kind of learn trial by fire here and switch it as we go so that we see what works?
Oh gosh, I hope I don't have to be organized. I'm certainly not very organized.
I put that out there for those who are not organized like myself, you know, and say, okay, listen, be nice to yourself. And I kind of want to make that point, ladies, and is that the point to make? What I'm hearing over and over again, to be present, to understand what's important to you, to make sure that you take care of yourself, cut out the sugar, cut out, you know, get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. All that is about being nice to yourself. You're allowed to be nice to yourself. Everybody's got priorities to juggle. Everybody's got things to do. But it's about being nice to yourself, because you won't be able to survive, nor will you be able to succeed and go further if you're not cognizant and aware of what you need, your body needs, because the other side of that is, and I want both of you to jump in here, on how the immune system gets run down real quickly by everything that we've just talked about, all those priorities. Mm-hmm. I mean, that one blog question was like the one that kind of encompasses everything, because everybody is juggling everything these days, and everybody's running a schedule that everything needed to be done yesterday as opposed to today. So what does that do to our immune systems, and how can we be present and mindful and bring our immune systems back around and at least be kind to our immune system so that we can thwart off some health issues? And whoever wants to start, I'm gonna leave that to either one of you. Tracy, you want to start it, or how do you? I don't care.
Sure. I don't mean to go back to a word that you said, but I'm very sensitive to the word no sugar, especially because I'm a pastry chef. This is not about being all or nothing. This is just about having less. So I will tell you.
Okay, I stand corrected. Less sugar.
Sugar does change brain chemistry, and just to give your listeners, how does it change brain chemistry? We all have in the front part of our brain something called the prefrontal cortex that is the CEO of our brain. It's the decision-making process. So the more sugar we eat, the less activated that prefrontal cortex is, which simply means the more sugar we eat, the less we are going to be able to choose wisely. And we all have free will, and of course we want to use that free will to our benefit. So sugar in moderation is fine, but if you do it in excess, if you consume anything in excess, it sort of tips the scales of balance, and it doesn't work in our favor any longer. So with that being said, we all live in a very busy world. And yes, going back to mindfulness and keeping things simple. So with food, instead of putting all these dressings on, if you learn to prepare food in its simplest form and take it in and eat it and consume it in its simplest form, the body knows what to do with that. So I think this is just about keeping, the simpler you keep your life, even with not saying yes to everyone, but learning to say yes to only the things that are also meaningful to you, that could be helpful for you to achieve your goals. It's, again, prioritizing.
Well, and I think it's also important to add on to that as well. Yes, keeping everything simple makes it it allows you to be more aware of what's happening as well. But then some things in life get really, really complicated. People get sick. People unfortunately have car accidents, and their lives become more complicated, and they tend to be centered around those particular events because they can't help it. And
right.
So if that's the case, then staying simple is really the key to even pulling them out of those situations as well. Would you agree?
Yes, but then going back to that question I brought up, why is this happening for me? If what you have control over, meaning what you're eating, is simplified, then you can use that extra energy for your lessons in the discomfort that you're going through, whether it be an illness, whether it be an accident, whether it be a family issue. The simpler we keep our lives, the better choices that we make for ourselves in food, in exercise, in sleeping. Now, I know some people have anxiety. They won't be able to sleep. That becomes a priority, to fix the sleeping so that it doesn't change the hormones in your eating, overeating the next day.
Okay. Stephanie, I have a question for you as it relates to what Tracy just said. I'm sure that in your practice you see all kinds of complications of life, and yet you're focusing on intrinsic motivation and how to teach people how to learn themselves and how to pull themselves away from what they're being exposed to, correct?
A simple said, yes.
Okay, and if that's the case, then where do you, based on everything, and Tracy's given us such wonderful things tonight, and we've all confirmed that, but at what point do you see, I know you see some really seriously complicated situations, how do you pull those apart for people? Because I'm sure there are people sitting here listening to this show going, but I don't know where to start. Some things are just too complicated to even begin to know how to bring it around. And if I've asked this question before, I'm kind of asking it in a different way so that those listening that are experiencing complicated situations at the moment, you're not feeling completely overwhelmed to the point where I don't even know where to begin because, yes, this all sounds great, but where is it? Where do I go? And before you answer that question, I want to remind people we've got a lot of callers on the board tonight, an awful lot. And I want to remind people to press 1 if you have a question, because you'll get in the queue for questions. If you are having difficulty with pressing 1 and I'm not calling on you, it might mean that it's not showing up as a question. Some other people have had to call from landlines lately. I don't know what that's about, but I know that Blog Talk is aware of it. So just go ahead and press 1 if you have a question. And we've got some other questions on the blog in a minute, but go ahead, Stephanie.
I'll answer very quickly. I always say when you say yes to one thing, you have to say no to something else. And so when we go back to the prioritizing, now my specialty being autism is that they're here in my office for a reason, the children and the families. And so they're not always aware of it themselves. I have to teach them to do it. Sometimes I'm speaking for the child and I enter their world and become present where they are. And then we as a team will figure out what is on the priority list and what isn't. Does that answer the question a little bit?
Yeah, sure does. It sure does. Tracy, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I actually think Stephanie said it well. Thank you for that, Steph. I'm taking notes on what you're saying.
Thank you.
Okay.
I can add more, but I want to make sure to get to these questions.
Yeah, well, we've got another question here on the blog. Tracy, can you expand on mindfulness and how do I stay in the moment? And actually, this is a two-part question. And how does someone not worry about what others think or hurting others by needing to be a bit selfish? So there's a two-part question there.
Okay. And I will address both parts. First, the self-awareness, it's got to start with one's breath. The best way to really try to be focused in the moment is just to concentrate on your breath. If that's really difficult, I actually tell my clients to find a song, a slow song. It might even make you cry. That's okay, because then it's about feeling. But it starts with the breath, and don't be afraid to feel. So you're going to live through your emotions, because once you do that, you'll probably eat less because you're not afraid to feel. You're not going to be wanting to numb your feelings. It's destructive behaviors. If it's not eating, it could be something else. What was the second part of the question?
Okay, the second part of the question is, how does someone not worry about what others think or hurting others by needing to be a bit more selfish?
See, I don't see it as selfish. There's not one part of it. And I think people who are looking to constantly please others it could be, it may be because they're in such a wonderful place that they don't they don't have any need for themselves. So I don't want to, that could be a wonderful place. But I just want to also make sure it's not coming from a place of neediness, a place of wanting or needing to be loved or liked. When you are in a wonderful place, you do things for others simply because it actually makes you feel good. And it's not a, they're not feeding your ego. And the more confidence we have, the less you care about what other people think because you are doing the best that you can with the knowledge that you have. I think we have to let go of the sense of trying to do everything perfectly. Just do the best that you can with the knowledge that you have today. And know that even with our life experiences, both good and bad, there's going to be lessons that teach us more. So hopefully when we go to sleep at night, we just ask ourselves, not was this a perfect day, did I do everything right, but did I do everything to the best of my ability today? You know, and for those of you who are looking to do, to set a goal, maybe you are trying to write, and you might say, oh, God, I didn't do any writing today. Well, that might be because your world was topsy-turvy today. You know, I just want to go back to the when we were talking about the future of writing, write on anything, on napkins, on scrap paper, and just put it in an envelope. There is always a way, as busy as we are, to do something that gives us peace. That should be your goal. Your question to yourself, what makes you happy? This has nothing to do with anyone else. So when I'm asking what makes you happy, don't say, oh, making sure my kids are happy. Yes, of course. But now this is about your soul. It's not about their soul. It's not about their journey. It's about yours. So if you won, I was going to say $1 million, but that's not enough in today's world. If you won $20 million and you didn't have to work another day in your life, what would you do that would give you so much joy? And those are the very things that you should be focusing on now. It might even just be a minute a day. But put that joy in your life for some part of your day to feed your soul.
Okay, great. I just want to remind everyone we're running short on time here, so if you've got questions, I've got a lot of callers on the board, but no one's coming through with a question, so press 1 if you have a question. And when I say no one, like I said, sometimes we have problems with this, so please try to keep pressing 1, and if you are pressing 1 and I'm not seeing it, I can't call on you, so please let me know on the blog that you are pressing 1. And we'll kind of go from there. But Tracy, that was pretty phenomenal. I mean, in terms of thinking, being present enough to be able to say, I've done the best that I can, and today was a good day because I accomplished what I needed to make myself feel better, or I've worked toward what was important to me. I think those little steps give people a whole lot of encouragement. And I think that's the thing that I want everyone to take away tonight, because this show is done so that people can see that on a daily basis, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be the little things. You know how the cliche or the thing that we always say, oh, it's always the little things that matter. I would say in this particular circumstance, with these particular types of techniques, and it is the little things that matter, because it's the little things that keep our health in check. It's the little things that allow us to maintain our health. We didn't really talk yet about the immune system. And how the immune system really does respond to how we respond. So do you want to kind of pick that up a little bit, Tracy?
I would love to say, because I think this could be, especially because I just spent 2 months with my parents who were healing. All healing is a process. And the process of healing overlaps a process of growth, physical growth, spiritual growth. While a bone heals, it's getting stronger. While we are becoming more mindful, our brain is also getting stronger. So with regards to the immune system, while we are choosing, because again, that is free will, while we choose healthier foods and we are building a stronger immune system, that helps both our body get stronger and our minds get stronger.
Okay. Stephanie, when yeah. you're dealing with your clients and they're having when they're having their own issues that you're trying to sort through, the immune system is compromised to begin with. So
right.
what kinds of things do you do to teach them about staying healthy and about bringing health up to allow exactly everything that Tracy just said?
To be fully honest, I pass it on to experts like yourself and like Tracy, who have full knowledge of it, because I do not. And I want my families to have the best of the best of the best and to be able to collaborate with them. And so a lot of my families are working with either a nutritionist or some level of physician that is working with them, because I feel very strongly that they need to take care of their bodies and their health. A lot of my individuals have restrictive diets, either by choice or by their behavior, and we're either expanding it intentionally or it is restrictive, and we are trying to make sure that we are feeding their body and their brains the way that they need to be functioning. So right in line
okay.
with what Tracy was saying, so my role in that is to, for instance, if you know we have an individual who has very, very restrictive diet for his own, I'm using he as an example, that now we're wanting to be able to some level of try new foods that we know are going to be better for him, or restrict some of the older ones that we know are not as good for his body, his brain.
I'm sorry, that did not come through clearly, that last part of the sentence. Could you repeat that?
Sure. We want to make sure that he's feeding his body and his brain well is where I was going with that.
Okay. So then you would then refer it to someone like Tracy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
This is out of my realm of expertise, and I love collaborating.
Okay. That's great. I think I want to well, we've got a couple of other questions on the blog. We're not. I just got a couple of things on the blog here that says I am pressing one, and I'm not getting anything on the board. So I apologize to those who are trying to ask a question tonight via the telephone, because it's not coming through to me. And if you also give me the last four digits of your telephone number, then I will look for you and I will try to call it out and see if it comes through. So blog it to me, the last four digits, and we'll go from there. In the meantime, though, we do have a question for Stephanie as it relates to autism. And how do you work, what kinds of methods? In other words, this question says, how do you work with kids with autism and intrinsic motivation?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we're watching why or how individuals are doing something, we're looking at behavior patterns. And so we're watching what's happening on the outside. But really what we're doing is we're analyzing what's happening on the inside. Is this something that feels good to them? Is this something that they're motivated by? They have a history of wanting to do. What is it like for them when we try to change their routines and when we try to break into that rigidity? What is it like for them? And so when we're taking this down into its simplest forms, we're looking at whether or not it feels good to them.
So for adults, I mean, we kind of have to take away all those different layers. But for kids, one of the greatest things is that they are able to not worry about social norms so often. And so they will behave in a way that feels good to them. And so if we're looking for that behavior change, then we're going to address it accordingly. So I look for motivations. I look for why and how are they wanting to do this, and how can I get them to transition that to a new skill. Is that helpful in a short period of time?
Yeah, that's great. What you're saying, too, can be applied to any kid, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so
for my kids with autism...
Go ahead.
So all kids with autism are different, and that's why I'm doing it. If you've met one individual with autism, you've met one individual with autism. Every single one of my kids have customized programming. And so we look for their motivations being what is the want, what is the drive, and then their behavior becomes what is the why are they engaging in this behavior. And it's our responsibility, which is so hard, to really kind of analyze that and figure it out for them, because they're young children. As adults, we're still on this journey. And when we're young children, they're trying to figure it out. And our individuals with autism may even need extra additional support for this. And so it's our job to be able to teach and help and be able to work on that with them. We may not get to the point of full self-reflection, especially in our early kids. We're not expecting that. But we're still there to teach them about how it's working and how it's not working. And these things that feel really good may or may not be good for you right now. So we'll use the eating thing right now as an example, is that, man, we really, 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 really like goldfish crackers. But there's a limit and a time where we can have them and when we can't. And so we set those boundaries for our individuals, as opposed to as adults, we have to create our own boundaries. How's that for a better answer?
No, they're all good answers. You guys are fabulous, by the way, and you're giving us such great information that and all I'm trying to do tonight is kind of steer it a little bit so that the person listening that may not even be completely familiar with these concepts can know that they too can do this in their own daily lives.
Yeah, I would love to make sure that if I didn't answer that correctly for that caller or that blogger, that they may reach out to me so that I can maybe get that. I hope that's appropriate and okay for me to say.
Absolutely.
I would love to be able to say that.
Why don't you go ahead and give your website or your internet address again, and
Absolutely. Then
Tracy can say.
Sure,
okay,
it's www.bridgesbehaviorconsulting.com. And then my email is Stephanie, Stephanie, at bridgesbehaviorconsulting.com. You're more than welcome to go ahead and chat with me on there, or check out my Facebook page and send me a message from there, whichever is easier.
Okay, great. And Tracy, do you want to go ahead and give your contact information?
Sure. My name is Tracy Stoppler, and my email address is nutrition, nutrition, etc, at AOL.com.
And Tracy, do us a favor and tell us the name of your book.
Because it's not published yet, I can't.
You're so sweet to ask.
I will make sure that... Well, I would tell it when it's coming.
All right. Well, I'm
going to
do this then. I'm going to, and we have maybe 2 minutes left to the show. So I have one more blog question, I believe. We have one more blog question we're going to get to. But I'm going to say this, ladies. I am going to say that we need to do a second part to this show, and I'm hoping to do that relatively soon. And even when we don't have, if we do that second part relatively soon, when you get published, Tracy, we'd like to have you back, and then you get to say the name of the book and everything else, okay?
That's so fair. Thank you.
All right, cool. Last question for tonight will be, what nutritional supplements can help with concentration? There you go. I think we hit on those a little bit with the brain and the types of supplements in specifically. Do you have specific supplements that you use, Tracy, or Or are you just doing general, you know, kinds of things that we talked about earlier?
This is actually an easy question for me. I don't promote supplements per se. I promote healthy foods because taking supplements is not the same. Supplement means just that. It's supplementing food. So the goal would be to try to be mindful in choosing the right foods. And, you know, I just also want to say, going back to the topic of the mindfulness, mindful eating is eating when we are hungry and stop eating when we are no longer hungry. It's not to stop eating when we are full. So in a sense, it is intuitive, but I hope your listeners will find this inspirational. Not everyone is intuitive, but please know that everyone can learn to become more mindful. And I really hope that tonight's show helps you to at least believe that, to take the steps to become that.
Great. Thank you. Anything that you'd like to end with, Stephanie?
No, thank you for having me. I know you have to stop the show, and I will very much look forward to the next one.
Well, I'm so looking forward to following up on this. There's so many different things that we can talk about as it relates to this, and now that we've kind of scratched the surface as to what it's all about, then maybe we'll get some more specific questions, and maybe the board will start working as it relates to questions, and people can actually call in on our next one. That being said, I'm going to say thank you to you ladies, and I can't wait to be talking again. And I'm going to tell everyone that our next show will be on September 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern, where we're going to be talking about epigenetics and nutrigenomics. What do those words mean? It means your DNA. It means what does nutrition have to do with your DNA? And we have a fabulous guest coming on, Dr. Alfredo Galvez and Ronan Cohen. And those two are going to talk about what epigenetics are, what nutrigenomics is, and how what we do, what we eat, can influence our own DNA structure. So I'm really looking forward to that show, and we'll see where we go with that. In the meantime, I want to say thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you so much for calling in and attempting to get us questions. It's so good to see the board all lit up and see so many people. And thank you for being in and keeping me on track, too, and especially responding to me when I'm asking, you know, hey, did we get this question right? Or, you know, it's really cool when we see that. Don't forget that you can find us on Facebook with The Whole Scoop Radio. It's actually The Whole Scoop under Health and Wellness. And feel free to either blog us a question and or comment, or if you have questions about where, when, what, and how with your health, or you'd like to see a show, a particular show, please let us know. In the meantime, we're going to say goodnight for now and see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Have a great night. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.